Hello, everyone, and welcome to Artifacts. I'm your host, Marissa Dickens, and today's guest is professional LA dancer, choreographer, and teacher, Malia Baker.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, thank you for the intro.
Thanks for coming on the podcast today. So I met you back in Tevin's class, but I didn't know you were you. I was taking a lot of jazz. I think someone was like, "Do you take Malia's class?" And I'm like, "Who's Malia?" Like, this has been my year since I've been here. And I'm like, "I don't know the lay of the land yet." I'm like, "Who's Malia?" They're like, "You would love her. You would love her vibe." So I took a class and I'm obsessed with your class. First off, the warm up. We always need a good warm up. Then across the floor, then the combo. So it was just funny that I'm like, "Wait, you are you. And like, so yeah, but thank you for coming.
Yay, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure to have you in class. Your energy is so, so spectacular.
Thank you. So how long have you been in LA?
I've been in LA 10 and a half years, which is crazy.
I love journeys, so I'm really curious about your journey. But let's start from the beginning. So where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Colorado. I lived a couple places before that, but my memorable history happened in Colorado. Grew up in Colorado Springs and was kind of always dancing. I don't really remember a time where I wasn't dancing, and remember liking it a lot and having it be the thing that I do. And after school, I went to dance. It seemed like every day, and I'm sure I had days off, but did competition dance growing up. And was trying to do like every dance summer program. I would come to LA in the summers and take class at Edge and just try to kind of get my lay of the land or go to New York for a summer. There was one like year where I took off dance and was like, I want to be a regular kid. And I did track and like failed at track for a year and also did like theater. And then I was like, nope, dance is what I want to do. So always have been dancing.
That's so funny that you took a year off, because there's always that point when you're like younger where you're like, do I do this for a while or do I switch? But I feel like if you're really passionate, you're like, nah, like I considered soccer for a minute, but I said no. I said dance.
Yeah. I think I've always like tried to make sure that dance is not my only identity and my only life. And I've definitely had periods of my life and time where I've been more successful at that than not. But I'm really glad that I did that as a kid and like proved to myself that this isn't the only thing that I have going on for myself, that I can do other things and explore other creative outlets.
What do you think it was? So I'm sure it's changed, but like when you were younger, what was dance like for you? Like why did you gravitate towards it so much?
I mean, in hindsight, like looking back, I'm like, I think maybe because I was good at it, like it was a thing that I was good at. And I also just loved to get attention and loved to kind of like act and sing. Like my mom did theater while I was growing up and before I was born. And I think like was just a very theatrical person and encouraged me to sing and encouraged me to dance and encouraged me to do all that. And I think I just gravitated towards dance class. I think I liked being told like what to do and how to achieve something and how to take the steps in order to get to an end goal. I think that was something I liked the structure of it.
So you mentioned competition. So did you do like all styles growing up?
Yeah. I tapped, I did ballet, I did acro. Like I grew up at one studio and then switched to another studio. So the first studio that I grew up at was really theatrical, did a lot of jazz, did a lot of tap, did like palms, less hip hop, less contemporary. Then the other studio that I moved to was like more contemporary, got exposed to modern, did a little bit more hip hop, was going to conventions and kind of getting exposed to more styles through conventions as well.
Was jazz your favorite style growing up?
Definitely when I was a little kid, like jazz and musical theater was absolutely my favorite. And then I went through my teen years and like my studio was doing more contemporary. So I think like, I was like, oh, I'm in my angsty teenage phase. I'm gonna listen to Bon
The
Iver and be
baggy
contemporary.
clothes,
Yeah,
yeah. The darker
exactly.
shade, the muted shades of color,
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. And also taking contemporary in like booty shorts at convention. Like, so now the kids at convention are like dressing way cooler than I think I did.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I was a convention kid, and it's just so funny. And I feel like dance teams too are like a really big thing now, at least from in Ohio. And I'm like, this was not like a thing when I was growing up, but it's
Yeah.
just interesting the trends that come and go. And like,
I just taught at
I don't
a
know.
high school and I was like trying to be relatable. I'm like not that far removed from high school, but I was talking to them about the store Hollister. Like, does that
Yeah.
even store anymore? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, is it really dark in the store now? And they're like, no, what? I was
And the
like, oh,
perfume like wafting as
yeah,
you
that's
walk
what I
by.
said. I was like, wow, it's crazy how much things can change in seemingly such a short period of time.
So while you're growing up, like, were there any dancers or choreographers that you looked up to growing up or any influences?
Yeah, like being on convention, I would go to the convention LA Dance Magic a lot. And that was a convention that I really felt drawn towards because I just felt like the teachers had a lot to educate and a lot to give. And Jackie Slight was someone that I just was drawn to immediately, just her energy. She's like, she's very, like, I say this with so much love. She's like manic when she
I
teaches.
took her
She's like,
once with Michael
she's,
Rooney, and I'm like,
yes, she
it was
has
great.
so much energy. She's so chaotic. And the way that she can like command a room and just the joy that she brings. And I really like her balance of like being fun and joyful and crazy, and also being someone that you want to work hard for. I think that's like, as I'm a teacher now, that's the line that I really want to thread. 'Cause like, I never was gravitated towards teachers who made me feel scared. Like, some people really like that. Some people like to be put in their place and made to feel like I have to rise to this occasion so I don't let them down. Whereas I want to be like, okay, we're gonna have fun and we're gonna work hard and we're gonna be good at this, but we're not gonna make sure that we're crying by the end.
Yeah, Jackie Slate.
Yeah.
She seems like a really, really interesting person, and a really, yeah, like you said, she commands the space
Yes. And
immediately.
she's like a small lady. She is like small but powerful, and I think I've always found myself gravitating towards teachers, and maybe that's because I like being a student and I like being told like how to achieve something. So like Jackie Slight and then Adam Parson would come to my studio, another phenomenal teacher who really helps me kind of explore my artistry. What I liked about Adam's classes when I was younger was he very much was like, this is the choreography, but do it like how you want to do it. So just getting that freedom to kind of explore within the choreography, like how I'm going to reach my arm or my neck. And he kind of exposed to me like how different a dance can look just based upon like the angle of your chin. And I think that is so exciting that it can be so specific to each person.
Dance is like a science. It's like a science
For sure.
class. We're just constantly like experimenting.
Yes.
I want to shift now to your journey to LA. How did you come to that decision of like, I'm going to LA?
I had been going to LA during the summers, and a lot of people at my dance studio had done the Edge scholarship program. So I kind of had a relationship with Edge and known that the scholarship program existed. And it gets to my junior year. I apply to one college because I really don't want to go to college, but I'm like, let me just give myself an option. Audition for the University of Arizona dance program, get into the University of Arizona school, which was not that hard to get into, but I got into the school, didn't get into the dance program. So that kind of like closed that door and was like, okay, not going there. What am I going to do next? Apply for the Broadway Dance Center scholarship program or work study, I think it was at the time, and audition for the Edge scholarship program. Don't get into Broadway Dance Center, do get into the Edge scholarship program. So my decision is made. I'm moving to LA. I move to LA, I road trip, I drive myself out to LA.
By yourself?
With my boyfriend at the time.
Okay.
We do like a road trip. We go to Disneyland. I move into my place. I move in with five girls. I have never lived out of the house. Move in with five girls. It was a disaster. but start working at Edge. So the program was basically like a full-time job of dance classes and working at the desk. So you'd work at the desk one day a week for like 4 hours, I think it was. And then you'd take class. So you'd have like three classes in a row. Sometimes you'd take class in the morning. Sometimes you'd take class at night. And then every day during the week, or I think 4 days out of the week, you'd have your scholarship class. So there's 20 of us working with a specific teacher, talking about a different aspect of the industry. So our directors were Bill Prudich and Randy Allaire, who have had like the longest resumes ever. Bill Prudich is like in every if you see like people dancing and there's someone over the age of 50 in it, Bill Prudich is going to be in there. So did that program, and that was hugely important to me because it exposed me to so many different teachers, so many different choreographers, so many of the relationships that I still have to this day I formed when I was on scholarship. And that program was just so amazing, and I'm so sad it doesn't exist anymore. But at the end of that year, we had private auditions with every agency. And they, like, once you graduated Ed Scholarship, they'd give you a little list that had all the agencies named or listed on them. And then whatever agency was circled was willing to sign you and wanted to have a meeting. So I think I had like two or three agencies say that they would be willing to sign me. So I met with them, and then I signed with an agent and started working from there. I put in quotes for the podcast listeners because I did not start working then. It took me like at least a few more years to really start working from that point.
That is so interesting because I came here, I did the Millennium Certificate program just as a way to get me out, you know, here, like a place to live, 'cause I didn't know anybody. And that was like 13 people in a space. So it's like you gotta do the things you gotta do for the things you love. But that's really cool that you had that program and they had the agents there and you meet people that way. And that's so interesting because with dance, I feel like your journey is like a roller coaster. Like some days you'll work, some days or some years you're like, wait, what? You know? And
Yes, for sure.
was that transition hard for you then coming off of this high of this program? And then you're like, wait, then how, like you're just left now to your own devices. Like,
Exactly. Yeah, I think I'm so grateful that I had that kind of bridge from the competition world to the professional world because they are just so different. And I like everyone else, all my teachers at the time were like, it's not like competition dance. It's going to be so much harder. You're not going to work right away. And I remember sitting there and being like, yeah, but not me though. Like, but not me, because I got first place at competition. Like, I was like head of my class at school or whatever. Like, I got picked to be the soloist in the scholarship show. So I'm going to work everything tomorrow. And I think it's just youth also. Like, when you move somewhere at 18, like, you feel invincible. So I think it was like, how do I take care of myself? How do I be an adult in this giant city when no one's like telling me what to do? That was a really hard transition. And luckily I work started working with Jackie Slate, actually. I started working at LA Dance Magic in their office and touring and traveling with them. So I had structure and I had like a bridge into the dance world and the guidance of Jackie Slate to like kind of help me navigate that transition. But also while I was working for Jackie Slate, I was a brat because I was 19 and like had never worked a job before and like didn't know what I was doing. So I look back on that time and I'm like embarrassed of the way that I acted. So now that time has passed, I'm like feel very grateful that I had that even more of a bridge with Jackie Slate. But yeah, once I stopped working for LA Dance Magic, I definitely felt lost and didn't really know what to do and how to support myself. And that was all, it was all just a learning curve for sure.
It's definitely for me, like you're just growing, you're just learning as you go, and It's part of the journey,
Yes. Everyone's journey is long and different.
And that's what I'm learning here too, is like there's not one right path, especially in the dance world. Like, and whether you perform on like concerts or film or you just make your own things, it's like not one path. So it's
And
exciting to
even
see.
like if we moved to LA at the same time and we did the exact same things and we did the exact same classes, like we're not gonna form the same relationships. We don't look the same. Like everyone's, even if you do the exact same things, the outcome is so different for every single person.
Do you ever experience like burnout? How do you deal
Oh, yeah.
with that?
Yes.
'Cause I feel like it's
And
something that dancers don't talk about a lot, and I feel like burnout is a real thing.
yes. Okay. So my version of burnout that I'm experiencing right now is I had in October, I did like a total dream job. I spent 1 month touring in Europe, doing my choreography on stage, getting to dance on stage every night. It was the best. It was like such a dream job. Then I came home. November, December was like ending out the year. I was riding out that high. It felt really great. I was like, I don't need to work. I'm gonna just be casual. I just did that dream job. I'm gonna enjoy the holidays. January comes up and I realize that I have nothing on my calendar for the entirety of 2025. And what am I gonna do? I feel like I've accomplished this thing. I feel like that momentum should be riding, 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 but nothing is happening for me. And what does that mean? And I'm trying to like make sure that I don't give up because now I'm like, okay, I've accomplished that dream. Now, do I need to like go to nursing school? Do I need to become an elementary school teacher? Am I ever going to work again? So that is the burnout that I'm experiencing right now. And the way that I'm combating that is just trying to make sure that I don't self-isolate, that I'm going and I'm meeting with friends for coffee, that I'm hearing other people's opinions, because I will myself get into a hole where I'm on Instagram and I'm like, oh my God, everyone's doing all these things. Look at all this amazing art that I'm not making. I get comparison fatigue. I get isolated. So making sure that I'm reaching out to friends and like going to see a comedy show and just being a human that exists in the world, I think is really important. And also just trying to remember what aspects of this career that I find a lot of enjoyment in. And that is like the biggest thing for me. So I'm doing more free projects, I'm hosting free classes because I just need to nourish the artist side of me.
And it goes back to what we said earlier. It's like you have to have your identity outside of a dancer as well, because what if that's taken away for a little bit? Then what do? And how do you find other hobbies just to like help your brain and help yourself that can also inspire then dance and choreography in other ways too?
Yes. Yeah,
Oh, I want to
absolutely.
talk about the tour with the Purple Disco Machine, right? Okay, so
Yes.
how did this come about? And is it with the Bob's Dance Shop? Was it through them?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, talk
Yes.
about this because it's so cool.
So Bob's Dance Shop is, it's like not quite a dance company, but I think that's like the best way to describe it. They are a group that formed in like 2019, I think. And the founder's name is Andrew Vince Coconato. Depending on who you are, you call him a different name. But for the point of this example, I will call him Coco. So Coco is like one of the most like visionary people I've ever met. Is very clear in the path that they are making for themselves and is someone that is really doing it themselves. So Coco, during the pandemic, was like hosting these live classes in his garage and kind of formed this community of dancers. And then when the pandemic kind of restrictions were starting to be lifted, he hosted this big flash mob in Santa Monica. And it was just such joyful dance. Coco has no professional dance training, but is like a brilliant choreographer and a brilliant organizer of people. So they had started becoming really popular on social media with all these flash mobs, with the videos that they were making. And they went and rented space at my friend Smack's studio. Smack is another really creative visionary. And they met up, they made a video together. And I was like, these guys, I saw it on Smack's profile. I was like, these guys look so fun. Who are they? What are they doing? I want to know because I always love to know everything that's going on. That's my little sister syndrome. So I start following them on Instagram. I am amazed at the things that they're doing. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going on tour with Sophie Tucker. They're opening for them. They're doing this big, like, joyful dance party as a opener for this DJ. That's so cool. I want to be doing that. So I reach out to them on Instagram and I say, like, hey, what you guys are doing is so cool. I would love to meet you guys someday. And Coco's like, yeah, let's go have coffee. So we meet up in Venice and he's like, yeah, this is the things that I want to do. And I see your videos and you're cool. And like, let's collaborate together. He's
Love
like,
it.
okay. And so he sends me a Purple Disco Machine song. And he's like, I love this song. I want to work with this artist. Let's make a video together. Let's make some choreography to this song. So he comes over to my house. We collaborate in the backyard and we come up with like a, it's like 30 seconds of a little video that we're going to film. We meet in Muscle Beach. We film the little video and we post it. And I was like, that was fun. I brush it off my shoulders. I'm like, that was a fun thing that I did. Time goes on and he's asking me to do other things, other free projects, other like flash mobs that we're doing. So I'm just starting to work with them more and more and start to build that relationship. And then it's January and I'm at my grandma's house and Coco calls me and he's like, hey, we're going on tour with Purple Disco Machine. We're gonna do a show for him. And would you be willing to choreograph two numbers for us? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And he's like, cool. Then in March, we're going to South America with Sophie Tucker and Purple Disco Machine for Lollapalooza. And would you want to like come dance on that tour? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds cool. Meanwhile, I'm like freaking out. And I'm like, and he's like, okay, great. Send me a picture of your passport. And I like know that my passport's about to expire.
Oh,
So I
shit.
have my grandma drive me to CVS. Like I take my headshot, I send my passport in like immediately once I get back home. And I'm like freaking out and panicking that my passport's not gonna get there in time. I get the passport, I go to South America, my first time in South America, first time dancing with an artist. I'm meeting Sophie Tucker, like in Sophie and Tucker, they're two different people. I'm meeting Sophie and Tucker for the first time in a hotel lobby, and I'm like teaching her choreography. And it was just so crazy. And then I go on stage at Lollapalooza, do our first number, come off stage, immediately start crying because I'm just like, wow, this is not the pathway that I thought I would take to get to a stage like this.
It's such a whirlwind. It's like crazy how like just e not easy, but it was just like, yeah, let's make a video, let's just send it, and then you're like, wait, hello.
Yeah, it was wild. I think like, I've always, there's a John Green said at one point, like, pay attention to what you pay attention to. And I think that will inform you, like, what you're interested in. And I have always been really drawn to people who kind of make their own way in the world, who are creating their own projects, who are doing things like in a creative way. So I think I've always known that that was kind of be gonna be the way that I got to where I was because I don't know. I think I have cool girl imposter syndrome, but like
You
anytime I
are
go,
cool. Your
thank you.
outfit's cool. They're cool.
Thank you. I'm like my own style of cool. Like I am not like
You
the
are
hot.
authentically you.
Thank
And I think
you.
that's I draw to that. I'm like, ooh,
Yeah.
who's
And yes, and same. Like I'm also drawn to that, but there's a part of me that like wants to be the hot girl dancing for the hot male artist, wearing the heels, doing the thing. But I never really fit into that world. And I think for the longest time, I was like trying to force myself to be that. And then when I stopped forcing myself to be that and tried to be who I am, is when I found success.
Because there's so many styles and so many different avenues. It's like, where do you fit, you know? And
Yeah.
it's like, yeah, it's just a big, it's all discovery, all
Yeah.
self-discovery. Oh, what was the experience like, though, performing in front of all those people? Like,
It was
just
crazy.
the
It was
energy
crazy.
and.
There's no feeling like looking out into a sea of people and not knowing where it ends. Like, that is really wild and bizarre. I had never been to a music festival ever before, dancing at one. I probably will never go to a music festival unless I'm dancing at one because they give me such anxiety. With that just amount of people, but it's crazy. And South America, like fans in South America are something else. Like
Next
they are
level.
so involved and invested and screaming and dancing with you the whole time. So every time I was on stage, like we did, I think it was four or five cities. And then so each day we're dancing with Purple Disco Machine and Sophie Tucker. So we're running from one stage to another stage, which is like so not a thing. So we're running from one stage to the other stage and dancing twice a night. So it was really cool to see, like, oh,
That's
what is the
fun.
Sophie Tucker crowd like versus what the Purple Disco crowd is like? So that was just crazy. And like the Purple Disco Machine tour in Europe that we did this fall was like another incredible experience. The venues that we did were a little smaller. It wasn't like a big festival with a never-ending sea of people. We were like smaller shows, and it was really cool to like feel the energy of the crowd. We performed in Paris, like at the
That's
same theater
cool.
that like the Beatles performed at. And it's just
Yeah,
like it felt like a legacy moment for me. So I'm trying like every time I'm on a stage like that to just really feel present and really soak it in, because I know that those are going to be like memories that I have for the rest of my life.
that's so awesome. That's so amazing that to do that in different cities and just explore and. So I want to shift a little bit to teaching. So you have a regular slot at T. Millie.
Yes.
So for you, what is the role of a dance teacher?
Ooh, I think what I loved about my dance teachers was feeling encouraged to explore, feeling confident. Like, I feel like a dance teacher should be a confidence booster, is someone that sees something in you and encourages you to explore that for yourself. Because I, as a dance teacher, cannot crawl into your body and help you feel technically what you should be feeling or emotionally what you should be feeling. I cannot give you confidence. But what I can do is kind of say things in as many different ways as possible so that you as a student can find light bulb moments and find things that I say that help you reveal it in yourself. So I like to teach, like when I'm teaching a combo, for example, I like to, every time that I teach it, try to talk through it differently. So maybe one time I'm counting, one time I'm connecting with the lyrics, one time I'm like singing what the music sounds like, one time I'm saying right, left, helping you figure out your weights. So I try to speak as many different languages as I can, languages in quotes, like not real languages, reveal as many different ways of learning in hopes that students will connect to different parts of the class, I think is what I like. And then I also just like to offer a space for people to get out of their head and into their body, and just a place to have fun. Like, I think dance class can be too self-serious, and it's like we're making art, and I think art is, the art that I'm drawn to is fun art. Like, I like cartoons, I like pop art, I like art that makes me feel joyful, because I feel like I'm an optimistic and joyful person, and that's an energy that I like to feel. And I also love serious art, but the type of art that I make is usually more joyful art.
Do you think every dancer can teach?
No, I do not.
Yeah,
I don't think every
I'm also
choreographer can
agree.
teach either.
Oh, interesting.
I think there are definitely three branches to dance as movement. I think there is dance as dancer, dance as teacher, dance as choreographer. And I think sometimes people can embody all three. I think sometimes people can embody two, and I think sometimes people can embody just one.
Because me, like, experiencing it out here, experiencing different teachers, I've noticed that, like, oh, some people are really good at giving their own choreography and are really good, but then some people, like, don't teach with it that.
Yeah.
And then some people are just amazing dancers who can't translate that onto other people. So I was just curious about your perspective, because I also agree. I don't think everyone can be a teacher, even if they're in
Yeah.
the dance world.
Yes. I think teaching is its own skill set. I've always felt that I'm kind of like a leader. I've always kind of been a leadership person. I've always been driven towards that. Like when I was in school and it was the group project, I was like, all right, this is what everyone's doing. Like I love to be in charge. So I think that's why I felt drawn towards teaching because it is a leadership position. And choreography, same thing. It is a leadership position. So that's something that I was drawn towards. And I also like teaching because I liked being taught and I could tell the good teachers, like, and what really helped me unlock something within myself versus like, what are cool steps? And like, when we had people come into our studio, like, I could tell who was a choreographer just giving us a dance, and it was great, versus who was like a teacher educating. And so I, as a teacher, I like to educate. Like I think my steps are cool and I like them, and teaching helps me practice choreography, but I like to teach because I like to teach and because I like to host those spaces and provide information and pass down information that my teachers gave me.
So then for, like, I guess what from passing down, like, what's the best advice you've received, whether it's dance, teaching, choreography, and then the best advice you would give?
Advice for dance or advice in general for life?
Either one, whatever you feel compelled, honestly. I because the both could be, I feel like, applied for either way, maybe.
Yeah. I think, I think like advice in general, I don't know. I think right now I feel compelled to say, like, being yourself is hard to find who you are. I think it's really easy to say, like, be yourself, be yourself, be yourself. And then you're like, I don't know who I am. How do I be myself? And I think what I have found successful is like acknowledging what I feel drawn towards and what excites me, like, and trying to be specific in how to parse that out of like, okay, I feel really drawn towards Looney Tunes cartoons. What is it about the Looney Tunes cartoons that I find exciting? I find the comedy of a Looney Tunes cartoon exciting. I
For sure.
find the connection between the music and the movement exciting. I find the beauty of the landscape and how the landscape can feel really stagnant and the actor can feel really animated, exciting. I feel really drawn towards the color palette. So, like, just getting really specific on what excites you about a certain piece of art, I think can then help reveal in yourself what you are.
I like that. And then for you, after all these experiences, and what does dance mean to you now?
I think dance is so broad. It's like what you could ask the same question of like, what does music mean? And oh my gosh, like music is everything. Like music can be everything, and I think dance can be the same. Like there is cultural dance that I don't have a lot of experience in. There's like competition dance and teaching little babies like how to coordinate their body. And there's the Lady Gaga Abracadabra video. Like
Slay, slay.
there's all these different umbrellas of dance, and dance is very much a language and a form of communication. For me, dance has been, I think the biggest gift that dance has given me is like a connection and ownership of my body that I don't think I would have had if I didn't dance, because I don't really like to exercise that much, but I love making my dance instrument strong. Like, I love feeling at home in the connection of my body. I love knowing what muscles can do what. I love knowing that if I feel a little achy, like what I can do to help myself feel better. So I think dance has really been a gift of a connection with my body. I think dance has also been a really great way for me to explore different facets of my personality, because sometimes when I'm on stage, I'm like a different version of myself. And that's a really cool feeling of like, okay, this type of movement can make me feel a different way. And I think dance has really helped give me a lot of confidence in myself. Yeah, just feeling like, okay, if I move like this, I can explore more of this side of me. Or if I move like this, I can explore this side of me. So just helping myself understand myself a little more.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, dance is so universal. At the end of the day, it's literally like for it's your own self-discovery,
Yeah.
using movement as a way to discover more about yourself, which I think is really cool.
And like
Yeah.
everybody dances, like
You're at a concert,
babies
you're
dance.
vibing at
Yes, like
the club, at the club.
I think one of the things that I hope to dispel in my lifetime is like people that think they don't dance or that they're a bad dancer. It's like, no, you may not be technically trained. You may not have the education that maybe I have, but that doesn't mean you're a bad dancer. Like, I don't think there is a such thing as a bad dancer. It's like, are you bad at feeling joy? Like, are you bad at feeling emotions? Like, no, like, it's just a way to express those emotions in life.
I do feel like everyone's got their own internal groove, you know, especially at the
Yes,
club, you know?
absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Before we go, I want to ask some rapid fire questions.
Okay,
These are
bring it.
fun. Favorite song to dance to?
Oh my gosh. It depends on the day, the hour, the moment. Right now, I've been really into the song So Emotional by Whitney Houston, because I'm just feeling dramatic.
Describe your choreographic style in 3 words or less.
Ooh, quirky, sophisticated, grounded.
These are good. I like those.
Thank you.
Pivot turn or pas de bourrée?
Oh, why did you
I
pick my two
know.
favorites? You knew. Oh, I think a pas de bourrée. Oh God, that question's gonna haunt me throughout the day.
Favorite dance film or musical?
Oh.
Or
I
both?
think most impactful in my life is the Chorus Line movie.
LA's best kept secret.
Oh, this is a sad question, because my answer a couple months ago would have been Altadena. And for those listening, we know that Altadena really tragically burned to the ground. Altadena was a place that I went spent a lot of time. It's where I met my husband and where we lived together for the first 2 years of our relationship. So that is the first answer that I want to say. But the second answer that I want to say is Basecamp in Burbank is a
The
really
little,
great cafe.
yeah, like right by.
Have you been
I like to
there?
walk. Yeah, I like to walk there. It's really
Oh,
cute. It's like a little hidden little.
yes, it's so cute. It's a little hidden gem. I love being able to sit outside and see people on their horses just trotting by. It's so great.
That's the one thing about living in Burbank. I'm like, oh, there's just a horse on a street or like a
I
horse in the
love it.
backyard.
I love how many like equestrian neighborhoods there are in LA. It's like so absurd.
That's one thing I too. I'm like every neighborhood in LA is so different. It's
Yeah.
like you drive to Studio City versus Burbank. It's already different. Or yeah, it's
Yeah.
crazy.
I also
Ooh.
love Highland Park. Go to Bell's
Oh,
Bagels.
yes. Who's one person you love to collaborate with?
I don't know why Dick Van Dyke was the first person that came into my head.
Honestly, I love that.
But like, yeah. I'm gonna roll with that. Dick Van
It's
Dyke.
great. Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
that's awesome. Where's one place you would love to do a flash mob at?
I would love to do a flash mob like at the base of the Eiffel Tower.
Ooh, that's a good idea. I like
Yeah,
that.
there's a lot of people there.
I've been in the second level. I didn't go to the top because that was too much, but I went to the second. It
Yeah,
was pretty high.
I took the stairs up and regretted it. It was a lot of
Oh
stairs.
no. Oh no. That's a, yeah. When you're not busy, what do you like to do for yourself?
I love to hike and take the dogs for a walk. I
What kind
love
of dogs
to.
do you have?
I have a little rat terrier.
Oh.
I'm showing Marissa on the podcast. My dog, Olive, is on the couch. And then I have like a
Oh.
little lab. His name is
Oh.
Buddy. He's the best. Love to be with my dogs. I also love to bake.
Me
Love
too. What do you like
baking.
to bake? Are you like
I.
full out, like just like dessert, or do you do like the full, like extra everything?
I love to do everything. I love making desserts. That's like I think where I have the most experience. But I've been getting into breads this year, baking bread this year,
Ooh.
and it's so good. And it's not that hard. So I'm trying to make more
Oh
breads.
my God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, we'll
Yeah.
talk baking off
Well,
mic.
yeah.
Yeah.
Catch Malia at T Millie on Tuesdays, 1 to 2:30. Check out her class. It's so
Woo!
fun. It's a great time. And you
Thank
can
you.
follow her Instagram at Malia Baker. But yes, thank you so much for coming on. This was great. I
Yay,
knew I
thanks
wanted
for
to have you
having me.
on. Yes.
Yay.
And thank you to everyone who's been listening in. Stay tuned for another episode next month. Woo.